This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. I feel just a tad nervous up here, but we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to talk about women navigating difficult relationships because it's probably pretty much what I do most of my days, like at Faith Builders. And so I'm very excited to actually talk about something that I work with all the time. And you might think that I've arrived or I don't have conflict, and so that's why I'm talking today. You know, that is just not true. If you, I'm speaking because I have had a lot of difficult relationships over the years. And there's still one section of women that is just really difficult for me to navigate. Like, I think back over the time that we had a disagreement, and somehow we've never been able to reconcile that. And so I've had to learn how to go on, and I've tried over the years and have just not been able to. And so I'm still hoping for that. One of the things that I've concluded is the reason that I have difficult relationships is because I have a strong personality, and I'm highly competitive, and I'm always wanting to be on top of the pile. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about there. Like, I want to be the best, and I want to be on top of the pile. And I don't know. At first, I thought maybe I was born like that, but you know, I just don't think so. I think it grew out of my competitive spirit, and I was a supervisor for many years in a factory, and so that's part of why some of that competitiveness came. I was a really good supervisor, and I had high productivity, and so it was something that I just like really got in the habit of doing. So about 10 years ago, I was really confronted with my relational style, and like, look, you're at Faith Builders, and there's all these women there, and you're not going to compete against them. Like, you need to work with them. It's not about getting on top of the pile. It's about working with them. And that was new for me. I just was like, really? And so I had to take a really good look at my relating style. And one of the things that happened then was that I thought that women just hurt me. And when I really took a step backwards, what I realized was I had hurt a lot of women in the process. And I was really pained by that. I was really pained by that. And so I began working on that, and I've been working pretty hard at that. I talked to a mentor couple in about my sinful relating styles. And so approximately a year ago, or maybe it was a little bit longer, a staff person came to me and they said, "Irene, you're different than you used to be. Like, I see such a difference. And I think you should talk on this to a group of women someday." And I was like, I'm too ashamed to talk about it. I don't want to talk about that. And he was like, "No, I really think you need to." And so I'm doing that today. One of the things is relating well is a lot of hard work. It is a lot of hard work. And one of the reasons is because we come into the world, we're fallen. And we have a sin nature, and we are created in the image of God, so we don't want to forget that. But we have been wounded. You all have been wounded. But the truth is, you have all wounded somebody too. So I want to work off of that premise today. And so what I did is I chose four scenarios of women in the Bible, and so I'm just going to walk through that, and then and then we'll talk about those four scenarios, and then we'll talk about the risks involved in relating well, and then just about being able to develop healthier relationships. So that's where we're going today. So the first scenario is Euodia and Syntyche. And they are mentioned in Philippians 4, and it was a church of Philippi, and they were made up of a lot of different racial and culture backgrounds. And the women, for some reason, they really had a prominent role in that church, which was very unusual for that day. And Paul, then, he was working with that church, and so he pointed out to the men in the church, he said, you need to work with these two women. They are in conflict, and they have done a lot of good in this church, so it wasn't like they were not Christians. It wasn't like they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit, but they have relationship problems. And so he goes, I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I asked you also, true companions, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. So it's like these two women, they were laboring side by side. And you know, when we're laboring in the church or in ministries, it's tough. It's hard work. And so when we get overwhelmed, that's when relationship difficulties happen. And so I just think that's what happens. And so I would like to say that these two women, they likely had strong personalities. And so I'm assuming that's what caused their clash. And we'll be talking more about that later. And then the next one scenario is Hannah and Peninnah. And this is found in 1 Samuel 1 and 2. Hannah was likely Elkanah's first wife and Peninnah his second wife. So that gave Hannah the authority over Peninnah. And I don't know how much power that gave Hannah or what that did, but I just know when women have power or they have authority over other women, it just does strange things. And so somehow this caused a lot of conflict. And plus, the one had children and the other had the love of her husband. And so one had one thing, the other had the other thing. And instead of being grateful for what they had, they became frustrated because one had something the other wanted. The one had children, the other had the love of her husband. And so this caused a lot of conflict. And so I would like to say that their conflict was wrapped up in selfish attitudes and jealousy struggles. Now, the third scenario is Mary and Martha. And this is a very familiar story, and this is found in different Gospels. And so Mary and Martha, they really had contrasting personalities. One was more reflective, and the other was, like, she was really tuned in to the people, and she wanted to serve the people. And Mary, I just imagine she was like probably a quality person. And so she was like, you know, she just wanted to be with people to sit. And so she had these, so she was sitting with Jesus, and Mary, she was all frantic, you know, and she was making this dinner for all these people in her house. And all at once, she got really frustrated because she was overwhelmed. And so she went running and she goes up to Mary and she says, Mary, come and help me. You're just sitting there listening. Please come and help me. And so they had this conflict. And I imagine like when they were in their house and it was just the two of them, they probably got along just fine. But when they had this overwhelming sense of responsibility, then that conflict came out. Does that make sense to you? Like when there's overwhelming responsibility, then that's often when it comes out. And so I would say that maybe their conflict came out of value differences. The next one that we want to talk about is Rachel and Leah. And see, where am I at?
Miriam, where are the?
I think I got my two things mixed up here. Let me talk. Oh, no, I got ahead of myself. Sorry, sometimes I get messed up. The next one is Leah and Dinah. Now, this is this story is told in Genesis 34, and I'm using their name for this scenario because I wanted to use a name, and this is about mother and daughter conflict. And I don't know if this represents it very well, but I thought it'd be better if I use a name. And so I don't really know that much about the story, so I'm just going to say Dinah was the daughter and Leah was the mother. And Dinah, she oh, you know what the difference is. I forgot to change the slide. I was going to use them, and then I forgot. So it's Leah and Dinah. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I just couldn't figure this out. I have it right here, but I forgot to change it there. Okay, so Leah, she was a mother, and Dinah was the daughter. And she, I would say that Dinah really admired her mother as she grew up. But then as Dinah got married, for some reason, she... And she grew older and she established her home. She began to experience inner conflict with her mother. And this was really troubling to her. Like, she couldn't figure this out. And this really surprised Dinah. She was like, why am I struggling? I used to just adore my mother. And I've had a lot of struggles with my mother, too. And when I was small, I didn't think about it. But as I'm single, and so I still have my own home. And I just really intensely struggled with my mother. I just couldn't handle her actions, and I thought she was carnal, and this was also true for this other lady that I'm talking about. And so Dinah, as a married woman, she had to learn painfully to let herself be known, and that was also true for me, and cared for her by her community and other older women, and this was what happened for me too. And so for several years, there was just this unspoken questions. Like, I remember with my mother, there was this unspoken questions. Like, there was just certain subjects we just didn't talk about because we just couldn't agree. And but after a number of years, we finally were able to reconcile. And so what we, both of us women, what we did is we pulled back and we had to learn how to be independent of our mothers. Like, our mothers were somewhat enmeshed to us. And so we pulled back from that so that we could develop healthy relationships. And I think one of the reasons that this conflict happened is because I had ideals, my mother had ideals, and the reality of our ideals and the reality of what was clashed. Okay, so next one I'm gonna do is, oh, there I have it. Okay. We're good to go here. I just am not used to this. Let me back up a few. I think we have it there. This is the first time I've done PowerPoint, and so I'm still trying to figure this out. So bear with me. Okay, so the next thing we want to talk about, six different causes of conflict in women relationships. So the first one is a personality clash. And those ladies up there, actually, they had a clash, they told me. I saw it on our Faith Builders pictures, and I asked them if I could use it, and they said, yeah, they were actually talking through a difficulty there. So today we're going to talk about Iota and Syntyche, their clash. So I would like to say they labored side by side and they brought much glory, but their strong personalities clashed. Like, I don't think they got up one morning and said, you know what, I'm going to fight with this other lady. I just don't think they did. I think they probably were lading one morning and they just, their personalities just clashed. Maybe one was stronger. Maybe they were both strong. I don't know how that was. And so, And so they really had a lot of difficulties working side by side, and they could just not resolve their conflict. And one of the things that I've discovered in the years in working with people is that it is not unusual for people to use different ways to deal with conflict. Like some personalities, they use what you call the escape route. And they have like a different responses. And so when something happens, they're just out of there, they move away, and they refuse to look at the conflict within themselves, and they refuse to try to resolve it. They just act like it's not there. And then there's other women, they use what I would call the attack response, and they blame and they assault. Or sometimes these women that are more aggressive, they just cannot let the a conflict go. Like it has to be resolved before they can rest. And one of the things I've learned in all the years of working with people, women, is sometimes you just need to give them space. Sometimes you just have to let it be. And like sometimes I say, okay, ladies, I don't want you to talk about this for a week. I just want you to think, to pray, and to ask the Lord to direct you. Because sometimes it just can't be resolved. Like sometimes I need the space, sometimes the other person needs the space, and so we just need time so that we can work through it. Okay, so the next thing that I want to talk about, the next cause for conflict in women relationship selfish attitudes. And I just, rather than using the scenarios that I use, like Adam and Eve, I think that is where our selfish attitudes come out of. Like their sinful choice to disobey God set into motion events that are irreversible on this side of heaven. It is just, conflict is just gonna be. We are born with selfish attitude, and it is our part of our sin nature. So we need to accept that about that. And so everyone has a fallen nature, and at our core, we have a selfish nature that makes it hard to love people well. And one thing that often happens in conflict is that we generally do not pause long enough to think about the conflict. Because in my experience is conflict never happens when life is gentle and it's just rolling along. But conflict happens when I am overwhelmed and I am too busy to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it because it doesn't come at the right time. I just want it to go away. And it feels very intrusive. But I've noticed in my experience, and I hear a lot of women coming in and saying, why is this happening now? I am overwhelmed already. And I say, settle down. Maybe it's the best time for this to happen. And really, when we're overwhelmed, that is when it generally happens. So one of the things most women don't do is that most of us Mennonites, we're really good people, you know, and we don't think we should have conflict. And so, and we hate it. I hear majority of the women say, I hate conflict. I just want it to go away. And they don't take the time to look inward because we're looking at the people around us and we're blaming them rather than looking inward. When we have conflict, we must look inward. We must look inward because we learn a lot about ourselves in conflict. And so I would say all four of the scenarios, all of those women struggle with conflict, with selfish attitudes. And I would say, I'm sorry, but I want to say that all of you sitting here have selfish attitudes. I do too. We have to reckon with it. We have to deal with it. Okay, so the next one is jealousy struggles. Okay, so Peninnah and Hannah, they became jealous of each other because they assumed that the other woman had something they lacked and they had something they wanted. And so therefore this led into their conflict with each other. And I think jealousy arises, this is really key for us women, when we fear losing something that gives us the stability and emotional support. Like we are created for emotional support. And we become jealous of women who have emotional support that we don't, because we think they have something that we don't. So, I don't know, I've heard this said that jealousy is the core issue among women. That is just something we all have to deal with. And the fourth conflict that I came up with is value differences. So, Mary valued spending time with people, and Martha valued doing things for people, like spending time and doing things. It was a different value. Both of them are good, but they had different values. And what those two women didn't do that day is they didn't temper the frustrations that started rising up inside. And so Martha, she fretted and felt that her sister didn't care for her guest's physical needs. And so because of that, their value differences led to conflict. And I think some conflict, like value differences, can come between women when, like, those of you that are married and how you raise your children. Like, you might value something, and this lady over here that might value something. And when you think yours is the only way, that can cause struggle. Like, maybe both are okay. It's just a difference in our values. And sometimes when a woman particularly feels inferior, and then it can feel like she's inadequate or something like that, and so that can cause internal conflict. And I think another way is we all grow up in different homes, and some have experienced good homes, some have experienced difficult homes, and so that brings out different values in us. And we live differently as a result of it. And so we constantly rub shoulders with people who have value differences from our own. And this is what can lead to conflict between two people. The fifth cause of conflict can come from relationships that turn into a demand. So we have these desires, like, so Peninnah, she demanded that Elkanah loves her, which there's nothing wrong with wanting to be loved by your husband, but that demand that he loved her, that caused a lot of conflict in her, and she became obsessed that Hannah had something that she didn't have. And then Hannah became jealous of Peninnah because she had children. And she became obsessed that she didn't have children. Okay, now I'm drawing some assumptions here. And she became obsessed that she couldn't get pregnant. And so desiring children is a good thing too. Like God asks us to, like he wants us to have children. But when it becomes a demand, it can cause conflict with women, between women. So it is easy for a good or a bad desire to turn into a demand that causes conflict. And so the last thing that we want to talk about is our ideals and reality misalign. So we all have ideals. I was talking to you that my mother and I, we had ideals on what a relationship should look like. And in an ideal world, we all would get along perfectly, but we don't live in an ideal world. We are living in a fallen world, we're wounded, and so we just don't get along always. And so sometimes our inner turmoil, this is what I want you to get from this, is our inner turmoil can lead to our ideals and our realities misaligning. So sometimes a daughter will idealize something about her mother and it doesn't match the mother's behavior, because after all, mothers, they have sinful ways that they do things too. And the daughter has that. And so that can cause conflict. And sometimes a daughter's ideals are not even realistic. Like, they're small enough that they don't know that her mother is human. Like, they're still in that idealized, you know, world. And this is also true for mothers. And so I really think, like, when you start seeing this conflict, like, think about, are my ideals realistic? And so before the fall, Adam and Eve, they loved each other perfectly, and their ideal for love was the reality of their love. And that's still in our heart. That's still in our heart. And since the fall, our ideals of what we long for in relationship is often misaligned with our realities. And this is can cause relationships difficulties. Okay, so next I want to just talk briefly about be a risk taker. Okay, so I'm going to go through this rather quickly. So risk takers, they should take personal responsibility. So you need to take personal responsibility. So whenever there is conflict, it is easy to blame the person out there. And it is difficult to see our part. Like, when I was in conflict, I didn't think it was my fault. But it really was, a big part of it was my fault. And so I needed to be a risk taker who took responsibility for my actions. The second one is be a risk taker and come back to the gospel. One of the things that I was told, I need to come back to the gospel to find the answers, because the gospel is full of conflict in relationship, and you can learn a lot about that. So when, and sometimes during conflict, it is really easy to be hard on ourselves, and so we condemn ourselves because we can't get it right. And it is difficult to bring our heart to Jesus because of the self-condemnation that we feel within us. And so it is really difficult to focus on Jesus' grace. And it is really easy to become focused on ourselves and what we're not able to accomplish. But if we want to get out of our cycle, the Gospels is really, it's really what we need to do. The third thing is be risk takers who guard their heart and tongue. So risk takers who guard their heart and tongue is talked about in Jeremiah 17 and James. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Our heart is desperately sick. And so Jesus wants to heal that in us. And then James says, our tongue is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. And that is really true. And so we have to understand about that about ourselves and our tongue. Like, sometimes I'm just like shocked at how wicked my tongue is. Like, the person I love, like, I just it's just so easy for me to actually destroy that person with just a couple of words. Maybe not to this person directly, but to other people. And so it's really important that when we feel misunderstood and misused, that we guard our heart and our tongue. Another way that you can be risk takers is we need to pray for the person that we are struggling with. God might not change the other person, but he will change us if we pray and bring our heart to him. And so we need to pour out our heart to Jesus. And we should ask Jesus to change our heart. And so we can value and honor the person that we're having conflict with at that time. And the last one is be a risk taker by gently engaging when someone has something against us. Like, Jesus wants us to take the first step in seeking reconciliation. Even if it's not our fault, we should think of ways to seek reconciliation. And so one of the things that I want you to hear from this is it is not your responsibility to set the record straight. That was what caused a conflict for me for a lot of years. I wanted to set the record straight. It is my responsibility to seek the Lord, to pray, to ask Him, to change my heart, to look inward. And then if I go to the person, I says, we have this understanding, and we listen. What I've discovered over the years, if I can listen, sometimes I don't even need to confront the person. Just by listening, it helps resolve. So I don't go trying to set that person straight. Go to listen so that you know what the source of contention is. And then just often by communicating, knowing that you're listening to them, then they will often listen to you. And that has resolved a lot of conflict for me. So this is pretty key there. So learn how to be risk takers who gently engage. And the last section that we want to look at is foundational values that enable healthy relationships. So one of the things that often happens when I work with people is that they're trying to think about all the things that they want, but the first thing that we need to do is be restored to Jesus, be restored with God. And we have to remember we're created by God, and our interpersonal conflicts stem from the fact that we have fallen away from God. So the fall, we're fallen away, and so we need to be restored back to Him. So Isaiah 53:6 tells us that we have turned everyone to his own way. And then Matthew 13:15 tells us, for this people's heart has grown dull. So often when we're in conflict, our heart turns dull. And that's what you want to be. You want it to be alive again. And you want it to be restored again. And their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn. And I would heal them. That's what we want. We want to be healed. Because when we're healed, then relationships can be restored. So we just need to remember how that we need Jesus and He will heal our hearts because they're sick. Because we live in a fallen world and we come to God daily asking Him to heal our hearts. And so being restored with God and being at peace with Him is at the core of getting along with others. Now the next one might surprise you a little bit, but this is getting along with yourself. I'm just going to read something that I got out of one of John Koblenz's book. He says, does part of you want one thing and another part of you something else? Do you scold yourself, call yourself names, argue with yourself, and tell yourself what you must and must not do? Most of us have inner dialogue going on within ourselves, and this inner dialogue makes it difficult to get along with ourselves, and then this bleeds into our other relationships. So it is important that we get along with ourselves. So we have to remember that we are created in the image of God. And when sin came in the picture, something died within us, and so something has to come alive again when we have this conflict. And this is so when we are feeling, like sometimes I feel more alive than others, and often that's when conflict is more prevalent, and then this causes inner conflict, and so I think we really need to learn how to be restored to God and how to get along with us. And I just want to say this, many interpersonal conflicts spill out of our inner conflict. That made a lot of sense to me when I read that. So we need to be like Paul, who cried out at his own wretchedness and asked in despair, who would bring deliverance? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He knew who would heal his heart, because he also had a lot of conflict, Paul did. The next one is, we need to hope for redemption. I used to feel a lot of resentment when this conflict happened. But one of the things that I want you to hear, and if you don't remember anything of today, is you need to remember that conflict happens. And because we're all fallen. And so in John 16, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. He didn't say when. He said, you will have tribulation. And then he goes on to say, I have said these things that you may have peace in me. Now, let me put this whole thing together. Those were two segments of the verse, and it's John 16:33, if you want to go back and look at it. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we need to take heart, and we need to hope for restoration. We need to hope. Because God, he will redeem when we bring our troubles to him. And so one of the things that we need to remember is, on the other side of conflict, so here is conflict, but always on the other side of conflict, there is hope for redemption. And every time he heals you and the conflict is restored, you know Jesus is alive and he is well. And the fourth perspective is a chain, is a perspective and attitude change. And this can happen if you ask Jesus to help you see conflict as an opportunity. And he changes our heart as we look at him. So instead of focusing on your misery and shame, I hear this a lot, is you just say, Lord, change my attitude. Because one of the things is, we are not in a pain-free world, and life is the good life is about making godly and wise choices during interpersonal conflict, and we want to make God look good. That's what we want, and he helps us honor those we have conflict with. The fifth one is be of one mind. So what I mean by one mind is, we live beyond ourselves. We are not at the center of the universe. Our conflict isn't at the center of the universe. That's only a very small segment of our life. So therefore, we lay down our flesh and live to glorify God. Living to glorify God enables us to become one in mind with God and ourselves and others. And the last one is practice love and humility. We practice love and humility by asking the Spirit to guide us. And we need to be committed we need committed love that builds relationships, that has a foundation of trust. And often when we're wounded, we don't have that. We've lost that committed love that it takes to deal with conflict. And so just in conclusion, I'm sorry I had to sort of fly through this, because this is what I really want to focus on, but I guess that's what happens when you take too much time at the beginning. I'm just going to read this. I believe life is a network of relationships. God created us for interpersonal relationship and closed us with opportunities that are unique, different, and colorful. So that's you, that's us. And it is natural to gravitate toward those relationships that bring us the most happiness, growth, and fulfillment. However, despite our best efforts and intention, sometimes we go to church with difficult people, sometimes we go to work with difficult people, and sometimes we live with difficult people. So navigating difficult relationships often cause stress, tension, and anxiety. And this negatively affects our mood and exposes us to the dark side of our heart. Most of us hate seeing this part of our heart. We just hate it. It's ugly. So, but we must remember that this is part of living in a fallen world. Therefore, Jesus is just beyond the conflict, waiting for us as we turn to him. He redeems the darkness in our heart and the conflict in our interpersonal relationship. And then that's when we can build love with one another. And then love, and then life flows from the Father to us because our hearts are open to him. We're not full of self-condemnation because we can't do this. So thank you for coming, and I'll turn it over to the moderator.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.